And once again, thank you all for being here this morning. You had a lot of options. You really did, of what to do with your Sunday morning. You could have woken up, taken a look outside, saw the rain, said, you know what, I'm sleeping in. But instead, you made a choice to be here, and we greatly appreciate that. Hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. It is after Thanksgiving, which means it is officially the Christmas season. Yes, right? It's officially Christmas after Thanksgiving. Now, some of us may have snuck some Christmas decorations into our houses before Thanksgiving, okay? Which includes me. I did that. Our youngest has her birthday on November 20th, and she asked for the Christmas stuff to be up for her birthday, and what am I going to do? Say no, right? And so we've been celebrating Christmas for a little bit, but it's official now. We are in the Christmas season. It is the most wonderful time of the year. At least I've heard that somewhere before. It is a joyous celebration season, yes? But it's also a difficult and challenging season in some ways. So let's not pretend, right? It is a joyous season, but it also can be a difficult and potentially even a stressful time of year. The Christmas season can be a time where we think about and remember our lost loved ones, our loved ones who have passed away. We have those memories. We're processing grief. And so if that's you, if you find yourself struggling around the Christmas season, I just want to tell you, please, give yourself grace. It's okay. It's okay to have those feelings. It's okay to spend a little bit of time mourning during the Christmas season. Don't force yourself to feel joyous 24/7. That's not a reasonable expectation. So be gracious towards yourself. And let's, as a church, be gracious towards one another. Yes, it is a joyful time, but also a potentially difficult time. One of the other stress factors during this season is just our schedules. Yes, there's so many extra things that we are expected to do, maybe invited to do during this season. I mean, parents, we have Christmas concerts to attend, and maybe a work party or a family dinner, and all these things are wonderful, but they're also drains on our time and on our schedule. So balancing our schedules this time of year can be difficult. So I say to you, just remember, you are allowed to say no to some of those invitations that you receive during this time of year. You are allowed to say no. You are, I promise you, allowed to say no. But be wise about what you say no to. You know, all these family things that we do, just keep in mind, these people won't be around forever. So let's prioritize those things this time of year. The third thing that makes Christmas a stressful time of year for some of us, myself included, is the shopping. The Christmas shopping. Looking for the perfect gift for the people in your life, for the person you love. What am I going to get this person? What am I going to get these people? Christmas shopping is another one of those potential stressors during this season. And I can tell you, I have battled with this for as long as I can remember. Because I have people in my life that I love. I've been very blessed by God. There are people in my life, and I love them. And I would love to be able to use this season to express my love to them, to find a gift that they're going to open and say, wow, this guy is clever, he is thoughtful, and this gift shows me how much he cares about me and how much he loves me. I want to find that perfect gift for all of these people in my life. And then you look and you try to figure out, well, what can I afford? And because I don't just want to buy junk for somebody, but I want them to have something to open. But if I spend a lot of money on this person, does this really make sense? Do I have the kind of money to spend? All this kind of wringing of the hands that I do during this Christmas season. This is a battle I fight every single Christmas. And I suspect that I'm not alone. The stress of trying to find the perfect gift for the people in our lives. So let me ask you a question. This whole business of exchanging gifts with one another, why do we do that? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Christmas supposed to be a celebration of the birth of Jesus? We got some Christian people in the room today, right? So Christians, tell me, isn't this holiday, aren't we supposed to be celebrating Jesus' birthday? And if we're supposed to be celebrating Jesus' birthday, then why are we giving each other gifts? Why are we doing that? I mean, you remember what it was like when you were a kid going to birthday parties? You get that invitation at school, you know, elementary school, somebody's passing out the invitations, and you hope you get one, right? And you get that little envelope, and you open it up, and there's a picture of the Transformers, the Power Rangers, or Batman, or whatever girls put on their birthday cards, I don't know. My Little Pony, Rainbow Bright, whatever it is, right? And so you open it up, and you find out there's going to be a birthday party, and you're really excited about it, yeah? And then you kind of forget to show your parents that birthday card until the night before the party. Does anybody else do that? Was that just me, right? And then you and your mom go to Kmart, and you go and you buy a gift for the birthday boy or the birthday girl. That's where you're there. And you find something, and you wrap that something up, and you go to the party, and what do? You give that gift to the birthday boy, to the birthday girl. Can you imagine how disappointed you would be if it was your birthday and you give everybody those invitations, you pass out those envelopes, and the people show up with gifts in hand, and then they just exchange gifts with one another and you get nothing? How disappointed would you be? But it's my birthday over here. Why do I get nothing? This isn't fair. So why during the Christmas season, the celebration of Christ's birth at his birthday, why do we exchange gifts with one another? Well, I'll tell you what my Sunday school teacher taught me way back in the day, okay? This was in the early 80s, and this is what I was taught by sweet little old Mrs. Sipple, who was about this tall, right? This is what she taught me in the basement of a church in Chester about why we give each other gifts. Well, we give each other gifts to remember the wise men who gave gifts to Jesus for his birthday. Is that what you, anybody else taught that? Right? A couple of you were taught. Yeah, we give each other gifts to remember the wise men. But even as a kid, I'm thinking, okay, sure, but didn't they give gifts to Jesus and not with one another? Hey, Jesus was born. All right, wise men, let's gather around and give each other gifts. No, they brought gifts to Jesus. So what is up with this? Why do we give gifts to one another? Does it have anything to do with the wise men? Or is this whole gift exchange a leftover tradition from a pagan holiday? Is that what this is? Huh? Ooh, you heard me. Pagan holiday. Did you ever look into the mysterious origins of this holiday we now call Christmas? Yeah? Like, what's up with the tree and the lights and the garland? What does any of this stuff have to do with Jesus? Now, I've just about given up trying to figure out the true mysterious origins of all these traditions we have today. But as far as I can tell, once upon a time, there were at least two, maybe more, pagan holidays that existed in the wintertime around December 25th. Celebrations of the winter solstice, or celebrations of the harvest, where some pagan people would gather around and worship their false god, asking that false god to carry them through the winter season. There were some pagan holidays that existed, and they had these strange traditions like cutting down a tree and bring it into your house, yes? And at a certain point in time, as the gospel was spreading, as Christianity was spreading, at a certain point in time before I was born and before you were born, some Christian people got together, and they said, what are we going to do with these pagan winter holidays? Should we ban them? And they say, you know what, we're not going to ban them. We are going to hijack them. We are going to take them over, and we're going to take this winter holiday, and we're going to make it about Jesus. From here on out, this winter holiday is about Jesus. We will be celebrating his birth, because we got Christians over in that part of the world celebrating his birthday then, and some people are celebrating his birthday at a different time. Nope, it's going to be December 25th from now on, and so that's what we're going to do. We're not going to ban these pagan holidays. We're going to take them over and make it about Jesus. And you know, us Christians, we have a kind of a habit of doing this type of thing, hijacking certain secular things and injecting Jesus into those things for better or for worse. And so that's why we have some of this weird stuff we do during this season. There's just leftover traditions. Now, you can look at this tree and you can say, well, a tree is made out of wood. Not this one. But a tree is normally, a real tree is made out of wood, and Jesus was a carpenter, right? It's okay, there's a connection there. Or Jesus was crucified on a cross, and a cross is made out of wood. And so when you look at the tree, you can think of Jesus. And that's fine, you can do that, but I don't know where this really came from. And this whole idea of exchanging gifts, I don't think it really has anything to do with the wise men. I think it's a leftover tradition from a pagan holiday. I suspect that's what it is. But why do we, in this day and age, are we celebrating some pagan holiday? Why do we Christian people do this? Well, it's just our tradition. It's just how we were raised. It's just how we grew up. And it's the expectation that's been put on us over the years. It's just what we're used to. It's just what we do. And so, yeah, we exchange gifts with one another instead of giving gifts to the birthday boy. The other reason that we exchange gifts with one another instead of bringing gifts before Jesus is it's a lot easier. It's more tangible. I mean, I can go out, you know, Black Friday, hit up King of Prussia, hit up the stores, and I can buy something for a loved one. I can wrap that something up, and I can put it in that person's hands, yes? Or tomorrow. Is tomorrow Cyber Monday? Don't pretend you don't know. Or Cyber Monday, yeah? I can go online, and I can purchase that mug for my coworker, that, you know, pair of socks for whoever, and I could wrap it up, and I could put that in that person's hand, and I could watch them open it. It's practical. It's tangible. I can see it. Whereas giving gifts to Jesus doesn't work that same way, does it? You don't put anything in a box and wrap it up for Jesus. I mean, what are you going to get Jesus, and how are you going to give it to him? But the fact is, friends, we can give Jesus gifts. You can't disagree with this. We should be giving Jesus gifts for his birthday. We can do this, and we should do this. In fact, we can give Jesus wonderful, powerful, meaningful, thoughtful gifts for his birthday. What are these gifts that we can give to Jesus? Well, I'll tell you, as a father, when my kids ask me, whether it's Father's Day or my birthday, when they ask me, what can I get you, Dad, for your birthday? What can I get you for Father's Day? I tell them the same thing. I say, can you just do what I tell you to do today? Yeah? Can you just do, if I tell you to clean up your mess, clean it up without any pushback, right? When it's time to go to bed, just go to bed. Will you just follow my commands for one day? Yes? That's what we can do. And as far as Jesus is concerned, what we can give him for his birthday is doing what he told us to do in the first place. And if you've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, if you've read the Gospels, the biographies of the life of Jesus, how many times does Jesus tell us what to do? He says, love one another. Love not just the people who love you back, but love the people who are mean to you. Love your enemies. Love your neighbor. Take care, not just a feeling, but take care of the people in your life who need to be taken care of. Meet the needs that you're able to meet. If you have two coats and somebody doesn't have any coat, will you give them one of your coats? Look after widows and orphans in your distress and their distress. Take care of the poor among you. How many times did Jesus communicate this idea over and over and over again? And during the Christmas season, we have ample opportunities to do just this, to give Jesus these gifts, to take care of the poor among us. And so, yes, once upon a time, some Christians, they took these winter holidays and they said, we're going to make this about Jesus. This is no longer secular. It's about Jesus. But what has happened since then? This has become more and more of a secular holiday. Well, I'll tell you what, in this generation of believers, this generation of Christians, we have the ability, we have the power to take Christmas back. How about that, right? We're going to take Christmas back this year. All right, maybe that's a dangerous way to say it. But what we can do is we can choose to reorient this holiday around the celebration of the birth of Jesus. That's a choice that we can make. About 15 years ago, maybe more, I learned about this movement spreading across the United States of America, simply called the Advent Conspiracy. And this Advent Conspiracy is all about this, is reorienting the celebration of Christmas around the birth of Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be celebrating, and giving us practical, tangible ways that we can do just that. Buy Jesus gifts for his birthday. That explains the insert in your bulletin. I want you to take a look at that now. Those of you who have been with us in the past, previous Christmases, this isn't new to you. This isn't a new concept to you. But this is something we do just about every single Christmas. We remind you and encourage you to use your limited resources, because no matter how much money you have, it is limited. It's not infinite, right? To use your limited resources and invest them in God's kingdom. Buy Jesus gifts for his birthday. Instead of buying something for someone who needs nothing, right? Instead, buy something for someone who needs something. And so we have this list of options for you today, different ways that you can spend your money, invest your money on things for Jesus. We have, and this is what I want to highlight this week, we have what we've called in the past our Christmas ministry. Okay, a little play on words there, yes? But we have, right now, in the lobby of this building, we have several little gift tags that you can take. Some of these gift tags are for Target gift cards. Some of these gift tags are for items like a hat or gloves or a coat. It's described on those tags what size we're looking for, what gender we're looking for. Yes, to buy a coat for a boy or a coat for a girl. And so what we're doing here is we've partnered with the Ridley School District, and they have let us know about the needs in the district, and we are buying either gift cards or items for people who are in need right here in our own school district. Can you imagine that? I mean, we're right here in Delaware County, right here in Ridley. There are kids that need a coat or gloves or a hat. Don't you know? Don't you know how delighted Jesus will be when you provide that child with a coat, with a hat, with that pair of gloves, with that pair of shoes, whatever it is that they need? Don't you know how delighted Jesus will be? We'll be able to go before him and say, hey, look what I got you for your birthday. I bought someone in need a pair of gloves. Oh, yeah, thank you. Yes, we can do this. Now, there are other options, and we'll talk about these. I mean, you're familiar with the Blessing Bags Feeding Program. A lot of you know about the Greenhouse Project. You can read the details on those. I'll highlight those in the weeks to come. But I really want to focus on this because I would love to see all of you, when you leave here today, if you have the financial means, to take one of those tags and to purchase one of those items, whether it's a gift card or an article of clothing, and to bring it back with you when? Next Sunday. We want to do a one-week turnaround on this. Take that card, buy that item, bring it back unwrapped next Sunday, okay? Now, we sent out an email last week with some more details about this Advent conspiracy, but this is what we're highlighting this week. Now, last year, we were ambitious, and we took on 55 items, okay, either gift cards or articles of clothing, 55. And last year, you, the people of Hope Community Church, you took all of those tags. We took care of all those 55 needs. Well, this year, we went with 65, okay? So that's, I'm not like a mathematician, but that's more than 55. We went with even more this year. So I'm calling on you, and I'm pleading with you, the people of Hope Community Church, pick up one of those tags on your way out. And here's how this Advent conspiracy thing works. This is not a in addition to situation. This is a instead of situation. Do you hear me? This isn't, oh, I got to spend even more money now. No. This is not in addition to, this is instead of. Here's what I mean by that. You've got that coworker. You've got that person in your life. You have no idea what to get them for Christmas, but you know they care. And you know they would love to get a card from you that says, a gift has been made in your honor. Some mittens have been bought in your honor for a kid in need in the Ridley School District. They're going to open up that card and say, oh, thank you so much. You know, you're going to reach out to that friend, that loved one, that family member. You're going to say, I got a little gift for you. And they're going to say, oh, what is it? They'll open up and it's a card. It says, a $25 gift card has been purchased in your honor for a family in need in the Ridley School District. And they'll say, oh, thank you so much. You know, I was relieved. When you told me you had a gift for me, I was nervous because I got so much junk around the house. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was going to have to smile and be polite with whatever kind of junk you gave me. But this really means something. They're going to love it. But guess what? Even if they don't, who cares? It's not their birthday anyway, right? It's Jesus' birthday. Even if that person, you're like, you did this in my honor, where's my junk, where's my thing? Well, I did this instead. I know we want to do right by these people in our lives, but let's choose to do right by Jesus instead. It's not their birthday, it's his birthday. So this is the challenge. It's not in addition to, it's instead of. So on your way out this morning to pick up that tag, to pick up that item and say, I'm going to buy this thing, this gift card, this coat, this hat, I'm going to buy this thing, I'm going to bring it back next week, and this is my gift to the birthday boy. This is my gift to Jesus on his birthday. Take a moment to look at the scripture passage that Bob read for us this morning. First couple of verses here. And Jesus is explaining something that's pretty simple, but somebody needed to say it. And Jesus says it. And he's telling the people, look, if you love those who love you, well, what credit is that to you, right? If you express love and kindness to somebody who already loves you back, what credit is that? What have you earned? And if you, I'm sorry, even sinners love those who love them. Even people who aren't believers, even people who aren't Christians express love to people who love them back, to people they know, to members of their own family. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And here's the whole idea behind it. I mean, think of it this way. If you've got $20 in your pocket, yes, and your loved one, that person you want to shop for, also has $20 in their pocket, and you go to the store and you spend that $20 on an item for them, and they go to the store and they spend their $20 on an item for you, and you exchange gifts on Christmas, you're back at zero. What have you gained? Where's the credit? What have you earned? This whole concept of credit. What's going to be credited to you if you just express love to people who already love you back? If you just give gifts to people who are just going to give you gifts back, what have you earned? Credit. You think about credit in two different ways. Credit as something that's gained. Well, what's being gained if you're just exchanging gifts with people who love you, just expressing love to somebody who are, what's being gained? Nothing's been gained. But the other way to think about credit is just like back in our school days. And you turn in that assignment, and you want credit for that assignment, yes? And Jesus is saying, if you're just expressing love to people who love you, it's like turning in an assignment, but you get zero credit for it. Teacher looks at that assignment and says, this isn't what I told you to do at all. I don't know what you did here, but this is not the assignment. You get zero. Wow. Can you imagine standing before Jesus on his birthday of all days and saying, hey, Jesus, in order to celebrate your birthday, I bought a present for my friend, and I bought a present for my other friend. Huh? How do you think Christ would respond to that? I mean, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to put words in the mouth of Jesus. But I can tell you, if that's how we approach him, he is not going to say to us, ah, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's make that our goal this Christmas. Let's focus on the birthday boy. Let's give him gifts that he desires. Let's follow his commands and take care of those who are in need. Let's join in this Advent conspiracy, and let's us collectively make a very intentional effort to reorient our celebration of the Christmas season around Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this season that we're in. We thank you that we have this opportunity to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, we want to do right by you this season. So Holy Spirit, lead us. Lead us into making wise purchases. Lead us into making purchases that would bless you and honor you, Jesus. Purchases that would bring a smile to your face. Father God, let this be a celebration of your Son and all that he has done for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.